Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Chapter 8. And today's text will be 8.3, if I'm not incorrect. Text number 3. Thereafter, a horse named Uchaishrava, which was as white as the moon, was generated. Bali Maharaj desired to possess this horse, and Indra, the king of heaven, did not protest, for he had previously been so advised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 4. As the next result of the churning, the king of elephants named Airavata was generated. This elephant was white, and with its four tusks, it defied the glories of Kailas Mountain, the glorious abode of Lord Shiva. Text number 5. Thereafter, O King, 8 great elephants which could go in any direction were generated. They were headed by Airavana. 8 she-elephants headed by Abramu were also generated. Purport. The names of the 8 elephants were Airavana, Kundarika, Vamana, Kumuda, Anjana, Pushpadanta, Sarvaboma, and Supratika. Text number 6. Generated thereafter from the great ocean were the celebrated gems Kaustubha Mani and Padmaraga Mani. Lord Vishnu, to decorate his chest, desired to possess them. Generated next was the Pariyajata flower, which decorates the celestial planets. O King, as you fulfill the desires of everyone on this planet by fulfilling all ambitions, the Pariyajata fulfills the desires of everyone. Text 7. Next, there appeared the Apsaras, who are used as prostitutes on the heavenly planets. They were fully decorated with golden ornaments and lockets, and were dressed in fine and attractive clothing. The Apsaras move very slowly in an attractive style that bewilders the inhabitants of the heavenly planets.
Shri
Rama Bhagavat Pura Ranjayanti Disha Kantya Vidyut Soundam Yami Yata. Tataha. Thereafter. Cha. And. Avirabhut. Manifested. Sakshat. Directly. Shri. The Goddess of Fortune. Rama. Known as Rama, Bhagavat Pura, absolutely inclined to be possessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ranjayanti, illuminating. Dishaha, all directions. Kantya, by luster. Vidyut, lightning. Saudamyami, Saudamyami, Yata, as. Translation. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Please repeat. Then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity, surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri means opulence. Krishna is the owner of all opulences. Bhuktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram surudam sarvabhutanam yadva mam shanti mrchati. This peace formula for the world is given in Bhagavad Gita 5.29. When people know that the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is the Supreme Enjoyer, the Supreme Proprietor, and the most intimate, well-wishing friend of all living entities, peace and prosperity will ensue all over the world. Unfortunately, the conditioned souls being placed into illusion by the external energy of the Lord want to fight with one another, and therefore peace is disturbed. The first prerequisite for peace is that all the wealth presented by Sri, the Goddess of Fortune, be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should give up his false proprietorship over worldly possessions and offer everything to Krishna. This is the teaching of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Then there appeared the Goddess of Fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Shri means opulence, and people are looking for Shri, opulence in this world, but they don't know how to get it, because unless one offers whatever one has to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one will lose it in a very ignominious way. For instance, a man may have 250 rupees and he may hide it in his house somewhere, but somehow or other that 250 rupees will be lost. There are many ways it could be lost. One way is that someone might steal it. Someone might see where he put it and take it out. Or a relative may call and say, you know, Dilip is sick. He needs 250 rupees for some cough syrup right away. And then the man will have to give the 250 rupees because he'll feel guilty if he doesn't. Or the government might come and give the man a ticket and say, give me 250 rupees or you go to jail. Or the man might die and leave the 250 rupees sitting there in the bed, and the bed will be given away and put into the trash and it will be lost. One way or another, the man will lose the 250 rupees. However, if he gives it away to Krishna before it is stolen, or Dilip needs it for cough syrup, or the police come and take it, or he dies and leaves it behind, then he gets eternal credit for that. This is the intelligence of a person who comes to see that nothing belongs to me anyway, it's only passing through my hands. So it's a great art how to give away what one has as soon as possible before it's taken away to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dadichi knew this when the demigods came and asked him for a little charity. What did they want? Just your bones. Dadichi, after a slight philosophical discussion, because he'd like to hear about how he's not his body from the demigods, very happily gave away his body in charity, because he said, it's going to be taken away from me anyway, so it's wonderful that I now have an opportunity to give it away. So, in the Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. And Prabhupada writes in a purport, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, the verse beginning with Naivatmana Prabhurayam Nijalabha Purno, that some people say that this is too much to ask, that Krishna's asking, surrender to me, give everything to me. Some people say it's too much. That's too much to ask. But Prabhupada goes on to say, he writes, that it's for the welfare of the person who surrenders. It's for the welfare of the whole world to give to Krishna what one has. And back to the verse that I just extracted that segment from, I mentioned, Naivatmara Prabhuriyam Nijalabhapurno. This is Prahlad Maharaj. Manam janada vidusad karunavranite yat yachchano bhagavati grihit aviditita kaman tachchatmane pratimukasya yatavukashri. He says, when you decorate your face and you're looking in the mirror, then the reflection in the mirror is also decorated. So in a similar way, he says, when you give something to Krishna, then you become satisfied and you become glorified. It's counterintuitive to the material mindset that thinks, I have to hold on to everything and then I'll be happy. So this is Krishna's prescription that Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam. Krishna is the enjoyer of everything, and if you think about it, that's important because we need someone to give to who can actually digest it. Krishna can digest anything. Like in Jagannath Puri, 54 times a day, is it? They feed him, and he keeps eating. He can take it. When Krishna appeared as Govardhan Hill, and the residents of Vrindavan came, he kept eating more and more and more and more. In this world, if you give something to somebody, it's very difficult for them to appreciate it. People don't always appreciate what they get. In fact, although it's noble to give, it's hard to find people to give to who are actually worthy or who can actually take it. In fact, there's a long history in the world of people trying to give away religious philosophy and then people won't take it. In fact, there's whole periods of history where people went out and they said, you take it or die, because it's not so easy to give something to someone. But Krishna will take the littlest thing that we offer to him. Neha bikramana shosti prativayuna vidite. And also, of course, this verse means that even if you give a little something, or if you make a little progress in devotional service, svalpamapya siddharmasya, you do the right thing, even a little bit, then you'll never lose that. And then similarly, he says, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya pariyanchati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami paritaparaha. This is a very unusual statement from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, if you just offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I'll accept it. It means these items are easily attainable anywhere. You can get a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water practically anywhere on the planet. And if you just offer that to Krishna, he'll accept it. Because he's the supreme enjoyer. He can actually take things and enjoy them if you offer them to him. So Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam is a great opportunity to turn one's attention towards giving to Krishna. And if you think about it, there's a lot of opportunity to do that, to give to Krishna whatever one has. And then it's no longer, because whatever I try to keep as a small little human being becomes a great burden to me. Maintaining oneself in this world is not so easy. And I heard a story about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was given one day a donation of a rupee. And he was going along with his servant, and then he said, turn around, take me back to that man who gave the rupee. And he took him back, and he gave the rupee back. He said, I can't carry this, too heavy. Too much of a burden. You take it back. And demonstrating how burdensome that taking on anything in the material world is. But if one lives to give to Krishna and offers whatever one has, then one can live in a palace, or one can keep unlimited wealth, opulence in one's life, if one's offering it to Krishna. And this is the life of devotees. When I first joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, a lot of my friends came to see me at the temple when I first joined. They said, what are you doing? Are you sure you want to do this? This austere life, sleeping on the floor? And
giving up everything. And I lived in that Brahmacharya ashram for 13 years, and I traveled the world multiple times and lived in these big palaces and ate the best of food, prasadam, offered to the Supreme Personality of God, and sat with the most exalted people on the planet. And I never once felt I was lacking anything at all. Whereas they went on to struggle very hard in the material world and thought, how are you doing all this with no money and with no parent education? Living like a king, practically. So Prabhupada often said that those who serve the king, they also live at the same standard. In fact, it's even better, he said, because the king has to worry about the kingdom, whereas a servant just has to worry about serving the king and doing the best that he can. So Bhaktivedanta Jagatapasam is a wonderful opening for us to give to Krishna, to give our life's energy to Krishna, give our speech to Krishna. If we have wealth, we can give it to Krishna. He can take it. I was at Radhakund about 10 years ago, and I just arrived in Vrindavan, and I had gone down to take Shnan. So I took everything off, and I put on Kamsha, and I went into the Radhakund. And then when I turned around, after saying Gayatri, all my stuff was gone. And they had just a pocket full of money and some pen and paper, a few things, plus all my clothes. So I walked home in my gumsha. That was from Radhakund all the way back to Govardhan at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram, probably about 7 miles or so. And I walked along like, I'm a sadhu, I just wear a gumsha here. When I stay in that ashram at the end, I used to always at the end, I'd give a donation to the ashram. But when I got back this time, I went immediately to my locker and I gave the donation ahead of time, because I was thinking, in any minute, it will be taken away. So better to give away before it's taken away. In fact, it reminds me of a joke I heard of two guys walking in New York City. Could have been anywhere, but New York, they're walking and a robber jumps out with a gun. And he says, okay, put your hands up and then really slowly reach down and give me all your money. So these two guys walking, they're friends, and one guy says to the robber, okay, just hold on 1 second. And he pulls out his money and he hands it to his friend and he says, Dilip, here's that 20 rupees that I owe you. Because in any minute, things will be taken away from us. And we don't know when or how, but they will be, because they're not ours anyway. So an intelligent person learns this and just preemptively at first tries to give everything to Krishna, saying that nothing is mine, it's all yours, Krishna. Just please take it for your enjoyment. And in this way, such a person enjoys life without a care in the world. Rama Bhuta Prasanama, the Shochati and the Kamshati. No lamentation and no hankering. And as a person feels happy in mind and spirit by just letting Krishna enjoy everything. And then naturally, that person enjoys. So Sarva Loka Maheshwara means that Krishna is the controller of everything. He's in charge of everything in the universe. And everything comes from Krishna. Everything is in complete balance. Om Purnamada Purnaminam Purna Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamedha Vrishishite. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri and Ramachandra Puri came, and this was a godmother to the spiritual master, and he began watching Mahaprabhu's habits and criticizing him for eating too much. He'd bring devotees prasadam, big plates of prasadam and sweets, and say, here, please take prasadam. And then they take, and afterwards he'd say, I've always heard that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat too much, and now I see it's true. And so he began criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and saying that he's can't control his senses. I see ants walking around. He must have been eating sweets here. And the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very disturbed. And Mahaprabhu just simply reduced his eating. And in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned from the Smriti Shastra that one should neither blame or criticize anyone. No one should blame or praise anyone. But then it goes on to say, of these two restrictions, it's okay to praise, but one should not criticize. And then, Kaviraj Goswami quotes from the Bhagavad saying that because the devotee sees that the world is working in a uniform way, he knows that there's no reason to be envious of others or criticize others. He sees that Krishna's controlling everything that happens in his life. So the devotee understands that whatever comes, tate anukampam sumikshamanu bhujana evapa kritam pipakam, that's the mercy of the Lord. It's coming to me as a special mercy for my own purification. And if one can learn to take things like this, that it's all under Krishna's control, see that Krishna's behind this, then one becomes the inheritor of the kingdom of God. And this verse, Vujana Evapa Kritam Vipakam. Vipakam, what does that sound like? From the fifth canto? Kundipakam. Vipakam. It means, this is the Kundipaka means a place where you get cooked alive. And so, one of our ISKCON pundits, Sri Mukunda Dutta Prabhu, was telling me that this word vipaka means, in this verse, that we're cooking in our own juices. We put ourselves in the pot, we lit the fire, and now there we're cooking in it. That's what that section of the verse means. That we've done it to ourselves. So the devotee understands that whatever is going on in the world is working perfectly by the arrangement of the Lord. Whatever reactions I'm getting right now are meant very specifically, especially for devotees, for my purification, just so that I can come to the point of pure Krishna consciousness. So if one can see that Krishna is the supreme Ishvara, then there's no more anxiety. Ishavasam idam sarvam yakincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena pujita madhuranta susudana. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things known well to whom they belong. This verse solves all the problems that one might have by just admitting that Krishna owns everything. It's all his. And then whatever I get, naturally, yad drishcha lava santushto, Krishna tells Arjuna in the Gita, that be satisfied with gain that comes of its own accord. And understand, that's tena tena, that's been set aside for me as my quota. Then you'll have no anxiety. So, Suridam Sarvabhutana means that Krishna's the supreme friend of everybody. He's there within the heart, and he knows exactly what we want. And for devotees, continuing in the verse Tate Anukampam Sasamikshamana, the acharyas, like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, say that even after a devotee surrenders to Krishna, sometimes there are reactions that come. And one might think that this is karma, but he said it's not karma. It's actually Krishna's special mercy. And that special mercy is that he knows exactly what the residual desires are within the heart of the devotee. Even after the devotee surrendered, there may be some very specific ways in which he or she wants to enjoy the material world. It's just a residual, just like if you burn a chapati in your house. If you ever burn a chapati, it's easier to burn toast. But anyway, if you burn a chapati or a papadum, you're cooking a papadum and it burns, and somebody will walk in an hour later and go, who burned a papadum? I can smell the smoke in here, even 2 hours later. So similarly, even after one surrenders, there's this residual effect, material desire. So Krishna knows exactly how to purify the devotee of those last residual desires to give him opportunity to completely surrender with no more connection to the material world. It's pretty sticky, the material world, like mango sap. If you get mango sap in your shika, you may have to cut off your shika because it won't come out. It's very sticky. So the desires and the connection to the material world is like that. But Krishna's Suridam Sarvabhutana means a supreme friend, and he knows just how to help us. So in this purport, Prabhupada's mentioning that this is the process through which one attains peace. So we have also the opportunity to give people who are suffering in the material world the means by which they can also be in line with these instructions. So one of the ways in which the devotees do that very joyously is they go out for sankirtan. So if one goes out on book distribution, for example, anywhere in the world, one will find some astonishing, one will meet people that one never thought existed in the world. And there will be circumstances that are beyond imagination by Krishna's nature. And by meeting these people and giving them some Krishna conscious literature, they have the opportunity to understand these basic principles of Bhuktanam Jagatam, that Krishna is the enjoyer, because they think that they're the enjoyer, and because of that, they're suffering. And all they have to do is to read something that's commonsensical, some instruction about how to make their lives completely whole and connected with Krishna. And that's what we distribute. So we go out and we meet people and we tell them that if you read this book, then you'll become happy. Actually, I've never really said anything like that. But I've said things like, this book will wake up love for God in their heart. I used to say that a lot. And in the Midwest of America, people are very religious. So stopping people, I'd say, you believe in God, right? And they say, yeah. I say, these are books that are meant to wake up pure love for God within the heart. And give it, if we just ask for a donation, and we use it to spread pure love for God all over the world. My godbrothers used to say that this was the God line to tell everybody about God. But surprisingly, when you tell people directly about Krishna, about God, you just come out and say it and present this information, and people are actually relieved. They feel some relief, because all over the world, people are subjected to information that puts them in more and more anxiety. It comes from every direction now. It comes on the internet, and it comes on the television. Just when I got off the airplane here in Mumbai last night, I was walking down from the airplane to immigration, and I saw no less than 20 advertisements for whiskey. I was thinking, what's the big deal with whiskey? The first rule in life is never drink anything that you can light on fire. And they're selling it as if it's nectar. And then as soon as you go through immigration, you come through and there's a duty-free shop, and they have all the whiskey they're advertising right there. And I saw people actually buying it. They were buying, you know, a bottle of whiskey and taking it home and giving it as a gift. Here, this is a friendly gesture. Take some whiskey and die behind the wheel. So this is ill-advised. It's not a very good idea. And there are a lot of bad ideas out there that people have. There's no extent to the bad ideas that people can come to on their own just by speculating and trying different combinations and permutations of the material modes of nature. They try to mix things up, and those try it like this, try it like that, And it's all speculation. It's all a bad idea. But Bhagavad Gita is, from cover to cover, just good ideas. And the other books we distribute, like Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the fruit of all the Vedic literatures. The sound vibration within that, within those covers of those books, actually says it liberates one from the entanglement of the material world. As we quoted the verses, Shrimbatam Swakata Krishna, someone just reads it a little bit. They become purified within their heart, they become happy. So Prabhupada said, this book distribution is a way to inject Krishna consciousness into the world. And it's reasonable because human beings like knowledge. They're always trying to consume some knowledge. So if you introduce Krishna conscious knowledge to people, and they can read a little bit of knowledge, even just a paragraph or a sentence that is coming from Krishna and Krishna's representative, then they can catch the real meaning of life and start to turn their attention towards the real dharma, which is to serve Krishna and to give everything they can to Krishna. And everybody is meant to do this. When we were in Jagannath Puri last year, or actually it was this year, because we have our yatra every year in Jagannath Puri in January, end of January, February, beginning of February. So we were in Jagannath Puri, and this year we decided that we were going to call it a Sankirtan yatra, not just going around to seeing the holy places. There's nothing just about that, it's very nice. But this time we're going to go, as we're going, we'll do it as book distribution, Harinam, and Prasadam distribution. So in Jagannath Puri, in 1 week, we collected 1 crore of rupees. That's impossible? Where do we collect? 1 lakh? How much is a lakh? 100,000 rupees. Yes, okay. 1 lakh of rupees. That's 100,000 rupees? Okay, we collected 1 lakh. Next time, a crore. 1 lakh of rupees just walking around Jagannath Puri. And we gave out, distributed 5,000 books, 5,000 lollipop prasadam, and 5,000 Jagannath stickers. We were walking around Puri with Chinese devotees and Japanese devotees. So the devotees came from China and Japan, and some from other places around the world. And so they didn't speak Korean or Hindi or Bengali, but they spoke Chinese. And they looked Chinese, and they looked Japanese. So we made these little cards that had the language on it that said in Korean, you know, please give a donation. And so we just walked around in Jagannath Puri on our way to go to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's place, and then we go to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's, but all along the way we'd be doing Harinam and distributing books. So everybody in the path, you could see they had a lollipop, a book, a Jagannath sticker. And so these Chinese devotees were approaching the Koreans, and they were astonished. They say, this is our culture, and here's people from China who don't speak our language, and they're giving us books in our language. And then, the first couple of days were a little bit slow until we found out the formula. There's always a formula for book distribution that makes it work. And so I discovered it one day. Should I tell you what it is? So anyone I met would take a book, and then any of the devotees would meet would take a book. But we've run out of time, so I can't tell you. In Korea, if you take off your shoes before you hand over the book. So as soon as I walk up to somebody, I just kick off my shoes. Nagar Kirtan was there, he's a witness, right, Nagar? So you kick off your shoes, and they kick their shoes off. And then you hand over the book. We were at the train station getting ready to all take a train up into Mayapur. So you were with me that night, right? We were walking around the parking lot, and there was a couple who, I guess they had an old rickshaw, they were relaxing for the day, and I came close to the rickshaw, I kicked off my shoes. They kicked off their shoes. Then the man took a jug of water, he started washing his hands, then he held out his hand for the book. so pious. And he put water on his head. And he took the book. So we went everywhere, and one day when we were in front of Jagannath temple, we were having a big harinam, and we had a table of books, and we put our deity of Mahaprabhu there, the devotees were dancing, and we were distributing books. And as I was distributing books, this lady, who was a professional beggar, kept coming over and getting in the middle of me and the person I was talking to. You know how that happens sometimes, right? And so then she started pulling on my sleeve, like, give me a donation. So I took a book and I said, here, I put it in a begging bowl. And then I said, now you give a donation. And she said, no, no, like she was pointing to, like, I'm poor, I'm a beggar, and stuff. I said, no, give a donation. And so then a crowd started coming around because they wanted to wonder who's going to win. This big huge Hare Krishna from America or this poor little beggar lady from Jagannath Puri. But I had no difficulty in asking her for a donation because we can beg from beggars because we're asking for Krishna. So she said no, and I said, no, you give. And she said, no. I said, give. And then finally a big smile broke out of her face and she reached in, she grabbed coins and she gave them, the crowd went, yay! So because it's a transcendental activity, if you go anywhere on behalf of Krishna, you have no interest whatsoever that you're going for yourself, but you're going there because you understand that this is what this verse is teaching today is the only way of Kurvani Iha Karmani Chajiva Shekshatam Samaha Evam Tvainanyate Tosti A Karma Lipitetare. This verse says there's no alternative to this way for men. You have to give your things to Krishna. So we go out and see, when I give seminars on book distribution, nowadays, wherever I go, I always start by talking about how to ask for a donation. Because that's the only part that people find difficult. They think, oh, I love to go out, but I just don't want to ask for a donation. But that's the best part. So I start with that first, and I tell devotees that this is how I ask for a donation. I hand the book, and I say, we don't sell it. Go ahead. Seems afraid I'm going to ask for a donation. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is an ancient tradition that when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. It's not for me, it's for you. And when they hear that, it makes so much sense because it's true. And no, donation. And they feel so satisfied by giving when they know it's a penance. They're not buying something. They're not. You're doing them a favor by asking them. So when the Gita Krishna says, don't give this knowledge to people who are not devoted or austere. So what do? We go out in the world, how do you know? You know because you ask them for a donation. That's a very austere thing to do. And you know this because when you say it, you'll see the look on their face. You just give 10 rupees and they're like, oh, I was going to put that in my mattress and save it. It's like, you'll not save it. It will be taken away from you one way or another. But we'll take it for Krishna. On your behalf, we'll give it to Krishna. And this is the way, if one realizes that this is the only way that people be engaged in some kind of service, and that this is such a compact service, everything's there. You meet people face to face. You give them transcendental literature, which living entities can handle because they have the chit shakti. They can look at things and they can understand it. They're very intelligent, actually. And they can give something in return. And that starts their spiritual life. So you can see it with each individual person you meet, that this is the way in which people can start their spiritual life and then make advancement. So it's this ideal of understanding that Krishna is their best friend, he's the enjoyer of everything, and he controls and owns everything. And then they can attain peace. And now we have a few minutes to take some reflections or questions. Reflection means anything that you heard that you want to give back to us. And we got an extra microphone all bad around here somewhere. It's just now coming. Mike? Your question is about the donation?
Asking.
That's donation asking. Don't ask him directly for donation, but ask him.
Like, how would you money us to donate for the books?
What did he say? How is it glorious to donate for the book?
My question is, in India it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, yeah. That's true. That's very true. And therefore, I don't hand Indians books right away. In America, when we go around, we have lots of Indians in America. So I teach everyone how to distribute books by, for Americans and Europeans, everybody else, you can hand them the book, tell them about it, then ask for donation. For Indians, if you hand them the book first, then you're in for trouble because they already know everything that's in the book and everything else, for that matter. I know everything.
So for
Indians, they need to be part of a cause. So as an example, when I go door to door and I meet somebody from India when I'm in America, I don't hand them anything. I just make friends and I tell them what we're doing, what the mission is, and then I ask for money. Because they're very happy to give money. And after that, we give them books. So we've been selling sets of Bhagavatams door to door in America. And recently, because we're running out of places to go because so many people have bought Bhagavatam sets. So we started a new program. It's called Go Matsya. So Matsya, avatar, save the Vedas. Correct? Also in ISKCON, many years ago, we used to have a program called Matsya, the Matsya Project, through which devotees were saving parts of the Vedas from being lost. The scriptures are lost. So what we do when we go to meet Indians is we tell them about our mission called Go Matsya. And the mission is, this is our motto. Our motto is preservation through mass distribution and education. And we tell them that they have a part in preserving the Vedas for the world by keeping the full set of Srimad Bhagavatams in their home. And just by keeping it there, they're helping to preserve the culture. And also, we have different levels they can join at. They can become an advocate, which means they just keep the book in their house, the set. Or they can become a distributor, which means they give us referrals to other people that can take Bhagavatam sets. They'll point out, take this person, that person. Or they can become what is called an organizer, which means they start their own distribution program. So we found for Indians, yes, please, Bhishma, Abhima. Tell them.
I saw your website.
So,
it's a good website.
Yeah.
It's a nice program to have a website called Go Matsya. It's a program because all the different levels of participation are there. And the basic concept was a write-up also by Nathras Kutty. It's a very succinct explanation about what the Bhagavatam is and how important it is. So, an opportunity, go to the website, it's called
GoMatsya.com. Yeah, thank you, Pima, for that. One more. Yes, Reflection?
Yes,
question?
I have a question.
Yes, Naratam, please.
I have a question about the
Bhagavatam
that you said in the last
lecture.
If you don't give it away to Krishna, it's anywhere going to be taken away.
Yes.
So better to just give it to Krishna. Reflection.
Okay. Yeah, reflection.
Also, Guruji mentioned that we hand over the book first, then ask for permission. That also works here in Mumbai, Bhimla, and quite a lot of people, they give money.
I know Bhima and I went out to the streetlights last time. And it was very nice. Bombay is huge. Unlimited engagement here. We go out for our own purification. So book distribution is high sadhana. If you just take time to go out, on a regular interval, at least once a month. Just being out and meeting people to give them transcendental knowledge will give you a superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. So we thank everyone who taking their valuable lives to come here and sit in this assembly today. Thank you everyone who joined us online from different parts around the world. And special thanks to all the devotees who are keeping this beautiful temple in such a pristine condition. Thank you very much.
Nacheri Armarman.